Well, good morning. So glad you could join us, whether you're joining us online, as no number if you are, or in the room. Let's stand. Let's sing together. This is a song we learned a couple of weeks ago. It's an original, but I think you'll be able to catch on pretty fast, and it's pretty fun. Let's do it together. One, two. I get those hands clapping.
I see your hand like a paintbrush on the tundra. Waves of gold beat the ripples of the sea. Your instruction
created world around us. We're going to sing an old hymn. Actually, the words are by Francis of Assisi that just reminds us that in all creation, we just see the goodness of God. you know the song, sing it along.
All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise Him, oh, their Creator bless, and worship Him in humbleness. Oh, praise Him, hallelujah.
Sing it out, church, come on.
We pray that everything that we sing and say and do today would just give you praise. Lord, fill our hearts with gratitude. May this truly be a place of thanksgiving. And pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. If we haven't met yet, my name is Andrew, and I'm the senior pastor here. And I get to actually do a little bit of double duty today. Get to play guitar, which I just absolutely love to do, while our worship intern Ian is learning production today. It is so, yeah, exactly. So if you like what's happening on the screens, you thank Ian. It is so fun to watch our young people grow and try new things. Speaking of young people, we're going to pray for our kids as we get ready to dismiss them. We got a fantastic kids team, and we're so grateful for them. Are you grateful for our kids team? Absolutely.
And I should point out a couple things relative to that. We've got a fun event coming up. We've got a parents' night out coming up, so you can take advantage of that. You can find information at columbiagrove.org. And also, we are looking forward to getting our nursery ministry started soon. There's only one thing in the way, and that's volunteers. So you could let us know on one of the connection cards and drop that in the basket somewhere in the room, and we would love to... love to help you connect if you'd like to once a month, you know, love on some littles and encourage their parents in Jesus' name. You could do that and make a big difference. So let's pray for our kids. Lord, thank you for our children. And God, we pray that you would just bless them today as they head off to Children's Church. May this be a place where they truly, truly grow. And so, Lord, we just pray for them, and we pray for the volunteers that are investing in them. We just thank you that this is the church that cares about kids. So we lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this is the moment where we can take a few moments to greet one another. We'll put some social media greetings up on the screen from folks that are joining us from around the wherever they are. But take a moment, give somebody a fist bump, give them a high five, just say hi, and we will jump back into singing in just a few moments. So just be friendly. Just let somebody know you're glad to see him. So as we find our seats again, and I know that's going to be real hard because y'all are so friendly. In just a moment, we're actually going to dim the lights a little bit. Not yet. We'll give it a minute so you can find your way back. But next week starts the season of Advent. It's a season of waiting. It's a season where we remember that even though the world can sometimes seem a little dark, even though things don't always make sense, God is there, and his light will shine through if we're willing to see it. So I invite you to stand. Let's stand as we sing this song together. We've sung it a few more times. It's got a few times in the past. It's got a little bit of a call and response thing going on there. And it's just designed to remind us that no matter how hard life seems, that God is present, that light is there, and that even right now, as we're gathering here on earth, there is worship all across heaven. So do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
That's right.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
We do.
And is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. And is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Lying out. Does the Father truly love us?
Sing it with me.
He does. Does the Spirit move among us?
He does.
And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever? God intend to dwell again with us. He does. Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, the grave. He is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priest to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy?
Invite us to have a seat as we join together in congregational prayer.
Good morning. Isn't it great to be in worship together? It's an amazing thing. Blessing and honor and glory can be given to Him. So as a congregation, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, your creation, and beauty, whether it's in the world or in each other. We just thank you for the gift of song from birds, from the sunshine that glistens off of the hills and the meadows and the sparkling of the snow. You are ever present and in everything. And we thank you for that. We love those reminders. And Father, we just pray over our governmental leaders, local, state, national, for peace, wisdom, good decisions being made in the best interest of all. It says in Psalms 118, verses 13 through 14. It says, I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. There are times, Lord, when we know and what it means to be pushed hard, especially in our culture, Father. We pray for your wisdom and guidance in that. And what it feels like when we cannot stand, but we also know that the help of the Lord who is sovereign, we know what it is to be strengthened, to hold the line, to obey, to witness, and to act with compassion. The Lord has saved us not from trials, but through them. He has supremely saved us from his judgment so that we may look forward to reaching our true home beyond our death. Pushed hard, falling, helped, but strengthened, singing and saved. And by faith, that was the story of the exiles in Babylon, a long way from Jerusalem. And faith, it is the story in this world today, as long a long way from heaven, but always walking towards it. And Father, we ask that you be with those in British Columbia who have lost their lives in the heavy rain and the flooding there. Continue to guide them and be with them, Father, for those loved ones left behind. And we pray for the mission work of the church around the world, our missionaries, our church leaders and evangelists, those kidnapped missionaries in Haiti. Father, we pray for their safe return. Be with them in their darkness. Let them know that you are there. And is there anyone out there who might possibly be hurting, whose food may be tears, who feels forgotten or brokenhearted, or lost their song, or maybe longs to be home, who wants more, who's fighting for joy? Let us focus on you, Lord. And I'd just like to read a little bit. It's joy and faith. Happiness is not bad. Happiness sometimes is conditional and lasts only as long as the ideal surroundings remain. True joy can be found even when the world around us is falling apart. His joy runs deep into every troubled heart and rushes toward every single cry for help. It says in Nehemiah 8:10, "Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." And Father, I lift up our general needs. We are looking and seeking for children's ministry, Father. We know who you have in mind. We ask that you continue to guide them towards us, Father, because we need a leader for our children and for nursery volunteers as we begin to reopen that ministry soon. And for our specific needs, Father, we pray for Brant Capel as he awaits a heart transplant. And we pray that you bless the family that heart will come from, Father. We thank you for that gift and the gift and the price that family may pay for that. But we are so grateful that he is alive and well and waiting. Give him patience to wait through that timely, from that long time. Thank you for bringing healing to Darren Crutchfield to come home after a major heart attack. Please be with him as he recovers further. For Don Miller, as he battles a rare stomach infection. For Mary Clark, as she has good recovery from her brain aneurysm and that she has been able to come home. For Tammy Wilson to find the housing that she needs. And we thank you for opening doors of opportunity this last week. For Laura Winchester's nephew, Wayne, who is in hospice. For Joy Schroeder and family as they mourn the passing of Dick. For Ernie Garrett as he recovers from a fractured pelvis. And Daryl Goodman, who has prayer for his brother Gus, who is in the ICU with COVID. Father, we just are going to take a few moments and offer up our own individual prayers, whether aloud or silent. Father, we thank you that you sent your son to the cross As through him, the veil was torn, and we are able to approach you not once a year to atone for our sins through the high priest, but that Jesus is our high priest, and that temple is now within us. Please be with Andrew as he teaches us, as we learn to lead like Jesus through our hearts, which is a spiritual matter, our thinking, behavior, our head, to examine our beliefs and theories and motives, our hands. What we do with our hands, a serving heart and helping others to reach their potential, and our habits, which are those activities we do in order to stay on track with you. Let us seek you in the being habits, solitude, prayer, study, and your word, application of scripture to real life and supportive relationships, all that is rooted by accepting and abiding in God's love. And we ask that you be with us in our doing habits, which are grace, forgiveness, encouragement, community. And we reinforce those good intentions and characters of our heart. As leaders, we desire not only to lead like Jesus, but as the inscription on our hill says, that we love like Jesus. Father, be with us today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We live in We live in a country in North Africa. It's a Muslim country. There are very, very, very few Christians there. So we just try to be present there, obviously, and do things to reflect the kingdom of God, to show people God's love, and to hopefully change their idea about the image that they have in their head regarding Christianity and Christians and God in general. We run a community center through our own NGO. We partner with other organizations, particularly ones that are doing things in our neighborhood. My wife is teaching classes to young women. Just teaching basic nutrition and way to, garden in the desert. That one's not as easy, but just being present in their lives, and it has provided her a number of opportunities to just share biblical truths, spiritual principles and ethics that they would not otherwise be exposed to. And she's been able to pray for them. And it's the more we get out and do things in the community, the better, really.
And so how can people come alongside and support you in your work?
The easiest way is to get on our update list and kind of stay informed with what's going on and what we're doing. It also helps you be able to pray for us, which is very important. If that's your, if that's something you're really interested in, would be praying for us. There's a small group of people here in town that that do that monthly. We're also very interested in people supporting us financially. It's very important to be able to make all these kind of moving parts happen and to just support ourselves as a family. So that's very a very important thing to do.
I'm coming. If you can come in for 1 week, 2 weeks, 2 days, whatever, it's very, very important to pray in the seat, in the place, in the land. So we living in the middle of the 7 million people in don't know Jesus, never see another Christian in your life. So your presence is important. So come in.
So I hope very much that you will, if you're here in the building, that you'll take a few moments at the end of the service and get to meet this couple, thank them for what they're doing, and consider how you might pray for them as well. So thank you so much for doing that. Oh, and if you're joining us online and you'd like more information, then you can send an email to office@columbiagrove.org, or if you're joining us on our website, there's a little chat bot in the lower right-hand corner, the little blue button. Push that button, and then just let us know, and we'll make certain that you get the, we connect you up with the couple so that you can get information on their work firsthand. Got it? All right. Well, let's open up God's Word today. And today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at a passage that, well, it's probably going to be somewhat familiar. It has something to do with Thanksgiving. But I was having a conversation. One of the things I try to do each week is just to text or call as many people in the congregation as I reasonably can, just to see how people are doing. Many of you have received those texts or those emails or things like that, and some of you even respond, which is kind of nice too. But I was talking to someone that I actually just hadn't seen in a while, and they said this, and I thought it was just really, really profound. They said, "This is as much a mental health pandemic as a medical one. At least it feels like that to us." Anybody relate to that? This is as much a mental health pandemic as a medical one. Now, that's not to diminish the medical severity of the pandemic that we are in and hopefully just about through. But it's just to say that this has been a tough season, hasn't it? Where, I don't know about you, but I feel like, anxiety and kind of how you handle, worry, and stress, those things are on the rise. So whether that is what seems like the constant stream of bad news, especially if you're watching cable news, and especially if you're watching American cable news, which you realize is funded by advertising dollars, which you realize those advertisers pay for viewing time, and they know that bad news, things that get you nervous, are what's going to keep you watching. Or many of us, we get our information from the internet, and especially social media. And it's interesting. I don't know if there's a documentary out there called The Social Dilemma, and it helps to illustrate a little bit of these things. But they can prove in the data that bad news actually travels 7 times faster and 7 times further than good news. And of course, the whole goal of any social media network is the viewing time, to keep you on that platform, because the longer you're on the platform, the more ads you're going to see, the more ads you see, the more money they make. Have you ever had that experience where maybe you're on Facebook, for example, and you're thinking, I'm just going to be there for 5 minutes. I just want to check in on some friends, which is good, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be on Facebook at all. But you take that you're saying, I'm going to be on there for 5 minutes. I'm just going to check in. And then you look up, and it's 25 minutes later. I have that experience all the time. And you just think, how does this happen like that? Well, it's because it's designed to do that. It's designed to keep you watching. And one of the ways it does that is with bad news, or at least extreme views. Like, the angrier it is and the sadder it is, the further it will go. So we're feeling that. I'm feeling that. Or there's been studies done now on Instagram and its effect on teenagers. Now, Instagram is a more positive platform, perhaps, than Facebook. You don't see quite as many angry quotes, but what we do see is we kind of see the highlight reel of everybody else's life, and then our own lives often just feel inadequate in comparison to that. So studies have shown that the longer you're on social media, the more you're probably going to be struggling with depression or anxiety. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't be on social media at all. It is a good way to watch puppy videos and important things like that, which sometimes is, actually. It's kind of fun to see those little things, or to stay in touch with your loved ones. What I am saying is that you might want to think of social media a little bit like wine, where, you know, if 15 minutes of social media is like a half a glass of wine, you know, a half a glass of wine is probably not going to hurt you too much. But by the time you get to two glasses of wine, you're going to start to see the world in very, very different ways. And by the time you get to the glass number four, you're not going to see the world clearly at all. Social media is a little bit like wine. Small amounts in moderation are probably okay. But if you find you can't stop, that's all the more reason to stop. To stop. So I'm not here so much to hammer on social media, though I am just a little bit. And I realize there's an irony in it, in that some of you are joining us from social media right now. And I hope as much as possible for those next few minutes that we have together that you can stop the scroll. And we can just dive into the Word of God together. Because I do believe this passage, even though it is somewhat familiar, it has got something to say to each and every one of us. I know I am feeling it right now as well. Just that sense of God's Word has something to say to how we do life, especially life here in the year 2021. Because it's a passage that has to do with gratitude, and especially these two practices that relate to gratitude. Are you grateful? I hope so. I hope so. But there are some things that it seems that gratitude unlocks in our life, like few other things. And that's not just being grateful that 2021 is almost over, but to stop and truly be grateful. So let's take a look. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, let's read the whole passage, and then we'll dive in with a little bit more detail. So the Apostle Paul writes this from a prison cell to the church in Philippi, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Then it gets to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you need more peace in your life? Oh yeah, me too. So let's dive in. Okay, verse 6. Do not be anxious about, well, it starts with rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, if you ever want to really make somebody mad when they're having a bad day, you quote a verse like that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, if you're feeling anxious, that is probably not helpful advice. I'm feeling worried. Don't worry. Well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, one of the ways we apply verses like this in church world is we hear passages like this, rejoice in the Lord always, or don't be anxious about anything. And we try to apply it. This is well-intentioned. We try to apply it in our life. And what we end up doing is we end up being really, really phony. You've probably seen this. You've probably felt this, and you've probably been tempted to do this as well. How are you doing? You come to church. How are you doing? And you say, I'm doing great. You're a young family, and you just arrived you just got your kids out of the car and into church. You've probably contemplated homicide several times between the car and getting him from the front door, through the front door of the church. If you're married, you probably had some sort of a fight with your spouse. Sunday morning shouldn't have much traffic, but it is amazing, isn't it, what can happen while you are driving to church. And how are you doing? I am just doing great. Just praise Jesus. We have invented at times a culture of phoniness with the best of intentions because we're trying to practice these biblical principles. But it's important to remember, I want to jump to another verse for a second just for context, because the same Paul who's writing these words, rejoice in the Lord always and do not be anxious about anything, as he's writing these words from a prison cell, also wrote these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. If you're ever tempted to just put on a brave front, this is the verse to memorize, maybe even to underline. Does the Apostle Paul sound really happy? Is he rejoicing at this moment? No. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. So the person that's giving this advice, the Apostle Paul, we are tempted to apply it in ways that are maybe a little bit Pollyannish, a little bit plastic, a little bit fake, but that's not the original author. And I don't believe that's a good application of this verse. God's not telling us, or God's word is through the Apostle Paul, is not telling us to fake it until we make it. Instead, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but, let's keep reading, in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but, so when you're anxious, this isn't so much Paul saying don't be anxious, it's saying I've felt anxious too, and when I am, here's something that can help. But in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here's principle number one I want to talk about just briefly. When you're feeling anxious, when I'm feeling anxious, practice number one, talk with God about it. Talk with God about it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, if you have your paper Bibles open, underline the word every. In every situation. So many of us, and myself included, there are topics in my life that I have had, and it's hard to talk to God about. And I think that God doesn't want to hear what I have to say in these areas. Or I think I've got to get my life cleaned up before God will want to hear my prayers. So if we can pray to the Lord about every situation, can you pray to God about your sex life? It got quiet, didn't it? Y'all are convinced, are you? Does God care about those details of your life too? Yes. Or your loneliness? Or your depression? And depression is not a sin. Or your temptations. You know that sin that you've tried to turn away from time and time and time again, and then you're tired and you feel isolated and you just feel drawn back to that, and you're like, oh, I can't talk to God about this. I can't talk to God about this until I overcome it. You're probably not going to overcome it, my dear friend, until you talk to God about it. Practice number one is we talk with God about it. Actually, with God is a better way of saying than to God, isn't it? We talk with God about it. Your body image. Talk with God about it. Your work. The coworker you'd love to throttle. Talk with God about it. And then it says this, in every situation with, do you remember the verse? Some of you have the Bibles open, so you got this. In every situation with, there's a key word, thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving. In other words, as we're talking to God honestly, and God invites us to come to him honestly, we do it remembering the larger perspective of God's faithfulness. I will be honest with God about my concerns now, remembering his faithfulness in the past. Can we say that together? I will be honest with God about my concerns now, remembering his faithfulness in the past. We start to see that larger perspective. Thanksgiving. And then we get to this first promise of God. You know, this thing, I think Paul learned this the hard way. That's why as he is getting towards the end of his life, as he's in a prison cell, as he is anticipating his own execution and writing a letter to a church that he loves. He says this, you know, I've had times when I was anxious. I'm learning to talk with God about it. I remember to be thankful, and in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you think of a time where you've experienced that peace of God that transcends all understanding? You know, where you were in a situation, and then you realize, you know, if I didn't know Jesus, I don't know if I would make it through this. I don't even understand why I'm not a basket case right now. So maybe that was after a hard loss or a time of grief or a massive setback or that thing that happened in your life. There's no way you could see it coming and you just feel clobbered. And yet somehow in that moment, you also felt held. So often when we're praying about, you know, for the peace of God in our life, and I know this is true for me, I'm praying that God would fix all the other things around me. You know, here's the people I'm worried about. Here's the situations I'm worried about. Here's what I saw on TV that I'm worried about. God, would you please fix that? Because if you do, then I'll have peace. And it's okay to pray about those things. And the God of the universe, he can work miracles. He can heal that family member. He can maybe give favor in a situation. But he doesn't always. He's sovereign. He may or may not change the world around you. But as we pray, he can begin to change the world inside of us. And the peace of God, can we put that verse on the screen again? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, God guarding your heart doesn't mean that you're not supposed to guard your heart too. I mean, some of you have already, you've memorized Proverbs 24 or 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. It's not that God does all of the guarding. It's just that you and God start working together in the guarding. He comes alongside as you also labor to guard your heart. And that's what this next passage is talking about. So we move on to verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that leads us to kind of practice number 2. First practice is we talk to God about it. The second practice of thanksgiving and gratitude is we strive to think about godly things. That's not as easy as it sounds. Now, you've probably heard a lot about like meditation and mindfulness. Like this is one of the things that, celebrities everywhere are kind of doing that. So I was reading this week that Lady Gaga, she meditates. Arnold Schwarzenegger likes to meditate. Hugh Jackman likes to meditate. And many of these celebrities will say, this is a big part of my success. And perhaps it is. And meditation is it is a practice that has roots in Christianity and roots and it's something that God encourages us to do. But when we are meditating as Christians, it's not that we're trying to clear our minds and think of nothing. It's that as we're looking to focus our mindfulness with God as a part of it. Lord, help my mind to dwell on godly things, on good things. And it's interesting, maybe this is a good time to mention this. As we talk about these spiritual practices, this isn't so much like faith versus science. You know, like, oh, are you going to go to the doctor and talk about your depression and maybe get some medication? Or are you going to pray? Just pick one of the two. No, the two can go hand in hand. The two can go together. Absolutely. You know, and the wonders of modern medicine are a good thing. And the and you know, the sociology and psychology, these are gifts. These are good things. But what I do hope we can learn as followers of Jesus is that we let faith lead that process. It is fascinating to me how science is just now starting to catch up with things that the scriptures have proclaimed as true, well, for literally thousands of years. That as we focus our hearts and we focus our minds on particular thoughts, it literally, and I don't use that word lightly, it literally changes our minds. If you're following along in the message notes, I put some links at the bottom of the page about like meditation and neuroplasticity, or meditation and neural pathways. That as we focus our minds, it changes the little highways going on that are happening in our brain. Like, so when Paul would write in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's not just introducing like this really wonderful metaphor. Science is just now catching up to how much as we allow God to transform our lives, it actually renews our mind. Like we actually get new things, new physically observable things happening in our brains. Isn't that amazing? Some of you already knew that. But it's just one more reason and one more way that God's word is true. As we think on godly things, it can change how we think. But there is a challenge, isn't there, with that? And we've already kind of talked about this. That you know, bad news, negative thoughts tend to be like Velcro. They land and they stick. And the good things are a lot more like Teflon. They just slide right off. That's why you could have 20 friends send you an encouraging note. Hey, I'm praying for you, just thinking about you. And you get one super negative text, one really neat, mean email, one comment, one troll on your you know, on your social media post, and what's the thing you probably think about? You think about that critical word, don't you? The good things tend to just Teflon, and the negative things are like Velcro. We're facing a bit of an uphill battle here. So Paul tells us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And then gets to verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put that into practice. And the promises and the peace of God will be with you. As Paul is kind of at the apex of his ministry, as he's anticipating the end of his life, and he's writing to this beloved church, he says, it's basically saying, among other things, that, you know, that how you handle those hard things, it's part of your discipleship. How you train your mind is part of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's as if he's saying to these friends, and y'all know my story too, right? You've seen me have to struggle through this. You've seen me have to do that. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. Now, so I want to share something with you that just comes out of some areas that I've been learning and growing in my own life, especially in the last 3 years. And some of you are much, much better at this, and I just want to acknowledge that. I know enough of you in the congregation deeply enough to know that some of you have really beautiful, rich prayer lives, and I stand in awe of that. Because sometimes in my life, I've had to grow and learn quite a bit, and prayer and, you know, giving things over to the Lord does not come naturally to me. So for those of you that already have a really rich prayer life, well, you may not need this of what I'm about to say, other than I would encourage you to start discipling some people, because we all need to learn what you've learned, and we all need to grow from what you've experienced. But I want to share with you something that has become a daily practice for me. I have a little journal at home, and over the last 3 years, I've started to learn how to journal daily. It is nothing pretty at all, which is why it's also pretty honest. So I'm not going to share like the actuality of my journal, but I want to share with you what each day starts with. Each day looks a little bit like this. So can we put up that graphic? So on a piece of paper, I'll write down usually the day of the week, and then I write down three things, and this has been helpful to me. So, I mean, again, some of you are probably way advanced. This to me sometimes feels like kind of prayer 101, but I've had to learn this. You know, I start off with the phrase, today I feel. And I just start to write down what I'm feeling. Today I'm tired. Or some mornings, today I'm discouraged. Someday it's a great day. Today I'm rested. I'm excited. But just start to talk to God about how I feel. And learning to be more honest about how I feel to God. And it's amazing how, as I'm giving those things over to the Lord, how it just seems to meet me in those places. So why are you feeling that? What made you so tired? Why are your shoulder? Why do you feel like the muscles in your upper back are just like super tight? What's that all about? But they actually write that down. And then the second thing is, I'm grateful for. And I try to challenge myself to write 10 things. Because, now again, some of you are way ahead of me on this. when I'm having a rougher day, I actually have a hard time thinking of those things. So I need to kind of start fresh with, like, I am grateful for coffee, because usually it's early in the morning. I'm grateful for coffee. Let's start with that. Coffee is good. Start there, and then work up. I'm wearing clothes. I'm grateful for coffee and clothes, Jesus. I'm grateful for coffee and clothes and this couch. I'm grateful for coffee and clothing and the couch. Now I'm already three towards my 10, which is, I'm making progress. I'm going to get there. But by the time I make it to item number 5 or number 6, I can feel my heart start to turn. And then I get to the third category. And so today, God, I'm asking you for. And then I start naming names. God, would you please bless? And I start thinking of my friends who've maybe lost a loved one, or they're sick, or the people I'm worried about, or I'm just asking for the things that I'm asking God to do in my life. God, would you just help me to be fully present instead of just distracted today? Lord, help me be more patient today, because I don't feel like a patient person. And just start to talk to God about what I'm asking him to do. So today, God, I feel, here's some things I'm grateful for. And now, God, here's some things I'm asking for. So that's been a helpful practice for me. And so if you feel like this, you're wanting to grow in your prayer life, maybe this is a good place to start, and you can probably improve on that. But it's just been a helpful template that I just want to humbly submit to you. And it has helped me have less anxiety. I'm a world-class warrior, and I'm not quite as good at it as I used to be, which is good. I'm learning to be more of a truster. Slowly. Don't get your hopes up. Takes a while, but God's working on me, and I hope he's working on you too. So here's what I want to challenge us to do. Now, as you were coming in in today, you probably picked up a piece of paper that looks a little bit like this. So this is different than the one on the screen, so why don't we take that down for a second? You probably saw a list like this. Would you take that out? And if for some reason you didn't receive a list and you would like to, would you put your hand up and one of our amazing ushers will get that to you? Because here's what I'd like to challenge you to do for the next couple of minutes is maybe start your list. And as you're writing, I hope you'll give yourself permission to not try to be really profound. Like, you don't need to come up with deep stuff. Just start with whatever's on your mind. So if you're grateful for clothing, start there. If you look at your neighbor and go, I'm really grateful for clothing, start there. Or food, or house, or car, or finances. And maybe as you get further down the list, maybe things will get a little bit more profound. But just to start, and just see if something doesn't start to shift in your heart as you do. Lord, I'm grateful. So in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So I invite us to do that, and as the band comes up, because we're gonna, transition out of this. But even just feel free to write as I'm talking here, because this passage begins with this line. So let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Guys, we live in a world where there's a lot to worry about. And there's a lot of people around us that are just feeling like they're on edge. What do you think could happen if in the midst of all of that, whether that's the negative news on TV or the polarized kind of opinions on social media, what if in the midst of all of that, there is a group of people that live differently? That started to see the world in different ways. They're actually known for being grateful people. Where there was a, somehow with them, there was a little extra measure of peace. That doesn't mean that they were plastic, it doesn't mean they were fake, but there was just a little extra measure of peace. Let your gentleness be evident to all. What do you think could happen if there are a group of people that were a little bit like that? I think that could be one of our most, as a church, that could be one of our most powerful forms of witness to the world. Not as people who pretend we have things more figured out than we do, because we don't. But of people who are learning to be honest with God, are learning to be grateful, and are seeking to focus their hearts and minds on godly things and allowing God to transform us in the process. So keep working on that list. We're going to sing a pretty familiar song in just a moment. And as we're singing it, if there is one item on the list that especially kind of pops out to you, because I'm not going to ask you to share this list with anybody. I mean, this is just between you and the Lord. But if there's an item on that list that especially pops out to you, write it in big print. And there'll be a point in the song where I'm just invite you to hold that sign up. Just simply as an act of praise. So, all right, well, let's close in prayer. God, thank you that you invite us to come to you with everything that's going on in our life. And Lord, you know those areas where we're feeling anxiety, where we're worried, where life is honestly hard. Lord, help us to be honest with you about those struggles. And thank you, God, that you can meet us there. And Lord, as we head into this week of Thanksgiving, and we think of the meals and the loved ones and all of those good gifts, Lord, may this truly be a week of Thanksgiving. Lord, teach us what it means to be grateful people. And thank you that as we do, that you fill us with your peace. And your strength and your hope. So, Lord, we bless your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing.
Lord.
name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing.
Sing it out, church, come on.
10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Got a card with this particular word, just hold it high, hold it high. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship your holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. And please have a seat. Sorry. So we have the privilege of coming to the table of communion. As I invite you to take out your communion packets now, if you're joining us from home, I invite you to find some bread and some juice somewhere, so that whether you're viewing us alone or whether you're with somebody, that we can participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion together. I find it just marvelous that as Jesus is asking us to remember what he has done, what he has done for us, he says, "Remember me in a meal." I mean, a simple, simple meal, like bread and juice. And maybe even in this pandemic, as we're using these little, like, sterilized, prepackaged thingies, maybe in some ways this moment, this morning, can be especially profound. Because let's be honest, this isn't very good bread. And you've probably tasted better juice than this. But you know what? In the simplest of breads and in the simplest of beverages, God is present. And he invites us to find him there in that space where he's already present, in those little things in life, like bread and drink. Because on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Do this remembering me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me. And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. In the simplest of items, Jesus wants all of us to remember that he's there. In the simplest and even the worst of days, he wants us to remember that he's there. He's there. So I invite us to serve one another. So maybe today's been a rough day, or maybe today's been a great day. But whatever kind of a day it's been, let's encourage one another with these words. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. And so I invite you in these next moments just to turn to somebody and speak those words as they partake, to remind them of God's love for them. So Lord, as we remember you in the bread and in the cup, Lord, may we remember you well. Thank you that your love is present in every moment of every day. You're there with us. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross. You gave your life for the forgiveness of our sin so that nothing would stand between us and the love of the Father. Help us remember you well in these moments. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Serve one another.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never.
Let's join together. That Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We often call these words the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray them out loud together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. I love hearing little voices in the back praying the Lord's Prayer. Do you love that? That is fantastic. Okay. Couple of quick announcements as we're heading out. Make sure to stop by. There's a table where the family that you met on video, meet them face to face. Ask them questions. Ask how you can pray for them. Pick up their information. We're in this together. That's first announcement. Second one is this. With the start of Advent this week, we're going to do a work party. So if you can spare 5 minutes. Now, have we unlocked all the storage rooms yet? I'll give you a 30-second head start, Marsha. Okay, Because here's what I hope you can, if you can spare 5 minutes, I want you to, this is a hide and seek game in the church. If you, as you go into some of our storage rooms down this hallway and down this hallway, I want you to look for things that have a green post-it note on there. See, like a green note like that one? If it's a green note, pull it in to the worship center. Make a big pile of Christmas decorations in the worship center. If you, it has a pink note, take it to the foyer and make a big pile of Christmas decorations in the foyer. But your 5 minutes of time can help our decorating team make a lot of progress, because you're tough and you're burly and you can carry big heavy stuff. You're not scared of Christmas trees or nothing. So you can help them out. So do that. The other thing I'd encourage you to do as you're heading out is we do have cards, encouragement cards for ICU workers, including a gigantic card there from somebody in our congregation that really, really received some help in the past year from our ICU workers. I got to deliver your first round of cards to the ICU this past week. It makes a difference, guys. It makes a difference. So take a moment to do that so we can encourage our hospital workers. They're worn out, but we can do something to encourage them. So Heather, would you lead us in a closing word of prayer?
Yes.
Okay.
We just thank you for the word we received today. And we just ask that in the weeks coming, that you help us to speak to you today about how we feel, to be grateful and make that list every day. And Father, just as what we would be asking for you, and we thank you so much for being able to receive the word and to be able to worship you freely. So now, unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless, with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.